Good morning. It is 7:49 and you're listening to Raven Radio. Today is May 30th, 2012. I'm Holly Keene and this is Raven News. The Sitka Assembly advanced changes to its city's sales tax exemption for senior citizens. For weeks, Assembly members have been considering limiting the exemption to low-income seniors. Right now, it's available to anyone over age 65. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more on the changes made last night that are less restrictive than the Assembly's original plans.
At a special meeting Tuesday, the Assembly changed the income level needed for seniors to be exempt. Instead of twice the federal poverty level, it's now three times. That puts the income limits at about $43,000 for seniors registering by themselves, or about $59,000 if they're registering as a couple. Those who already have the exemption are grandfathered into the program, but anyone who applies after the ordinance takes effect will need to obtain a city-issued photo ID and allow the city to check their last IRS tax return if there are doubts about their income. Members of the public who showed up to testify had criticisms and questions. Here are some excerpts.
It's very easy to shop out of town, because then you don't have to pay tax. I went to Juneau City office and I paid $20 for a tax-exempt card. They told me that I can use that tax-exempt card all my life.
If it does pass, I want to know how long and how many signatures I have to get to put it back on the ballot again so that we can vote it down.
And it's the IRS thing that has me baffled, because I've heard a lot of gossip out of the city's offices about people, and to me, my accountant, me and IRS are the only ones should know. And you cannot keep all your employees quiet. There's just no way you can handle it.
Who is going to police this? Who is going to tell that somebody cheated? It's not going to be the employees of a store in town who know that someone is coming in there and they're cheating.
I've got it in my pocket. I'm sure other people have shown you. City of Borough, Juneau, tax-free card for 65 and over. I got one about a month ago. Paid them $20. They took my picture and gave me and my wife one. That's it. End of story. No means test. No background investigation. Anything. And I think you guys are being real short-sighted here. When you cut these down, as others I'm sure have mentioned, we have other options to spend our money.
That was John Littlefield. Before him, we heard Sarah Williams, Shirley Robards, Mary Lou Valandry, and Alice Johnstone. The testimony seemed to fire up Mayor Cheryl Westover, who especially took issue with the notion that Sitkins would just go shop in Juneau.
We all live here. We have to make this a community. I don't care that what Juneau does, because Juneau has all kinds of ways to bring money into their community. We don't. Now, what you could help us do is figure out how to put a dock out here so those little people coming off can pay to, you know, shop downtown and help all our merchants and all that. But, no, you come here and ask us to be creative when we're out of ideas to be creative.
Westover called the tax exemption a gift, not something that people have paid for and deserve.
You can't just sit back and say, well, now we've lived here and worked here 10 20, 30, 40 years, I mean, some people even 5 years, and now they want to sit back and enjoy the infrastructure and let everybody else pay. I think that's real selfish. I don't understand it.
Assemblymember Pete Esquiro said he didn't know how he would vote. He said he understood the need for the city to raise some money and find some ways to fund its infrastructure.
But I'm also a little frustrated.
Frustrated, he said, at himself and at the process. Last week, when the city was considering its budget, it added back in many of the cuts proposed by city staff.
And then this week, we're going back to the seniors and saying, but it's urgent that we do something about the senior tax exempt status right now.
Esquiro ended up voting no on the changes, as did Westover. The matter passed 5-2. Tonight was to be the last word on it, but because of the changes made, it's going to come back up for one more vote at a future assembly meeting. If approved, the changes would take effect in 2013. This is Ed Ronco in Sitka.
The assembly postponed indefinitely a plan to change the city's sales tax cap. Right now, Sitkins pay sales tax only on the first $1,000 of a purchase. The proposal that's now placed on hold would raise that to $1,500. Assembly members had hoped to settle the issue Tuesday night, but attempts to clean up the language appeared to raise questions about how the tax cap works. A lengthy debate took place about the kinds of sales that could be considered under one invoice and what items would count towards the cap. The Assembly also advanced the city's 2013 budget without any discussion. That doesn't mean the debate is over. Tuesday night's meeting was the first reading of the ordinance. Members will have time to make adjustments to the budget at future meetings. You can link to previous stories about the budget and tax issues on our website at kcaw.org. Mike Vaughn leads the Sitka Salmon Derby after its first weekend. Vaughn landed a 41.4-pounder to claim the top spot. Dave Bandick is in second with a 39.4-pound fish, and Grant Hagerman is in third with a 36.4-pound king. The fourth-place contestant, Foy Nevers, is the leader in total pounds. Nevers has landed 9 fish so far for a total of 179.3 pounds. More than 100 people took part in the Derby's opening weekend. The average fish weight so far is 18 pounds. Results are unofficial until the event concludes. The Derby resumes next weekend. First prize is two round trip tickets on Alaska Airlines and $7,000 in cash. Sitka Superior Court Judge David George said today that he wants to hear more in an ongoing lawsuit between the city and proponents of a ballot initiative on land sales. A group called Sitkins for Responsible Government proposed an initiative in the summer of 2008 that would have required voter approval for any disposal of city real estate worth over $500,000. Current municipal code already requires a public vote for large land disposals, but sales or leases at Sawmill Cove Industrial Park are exempt. Property sales there only require the approval of an appointed board of directors and then an assembly resolution. Sitkins for Responsible Government sought to change that, but the initiative never made it to the ballot. The municipal clerk's office, under the guidance of municipal attorney Teresa Hillhouse, refused to certify the initiative twice. In April, the Alaska Supreme Court asked the Sitka Court to take another look at its ruling in favor of the city. In court Tuesday, Judge George gave the city 30 days to file a brief explaining the issues it feels are still on the table. The initiative's backers will also have 30 days to respond. They say they'll drop the suit if the city puts their measure on the ballot. Alaska natives in the Arctic have long observed changes in their environment. That includes changes to the climate. But when a man on a remote island in the Bering Sea began writing down those observations, his hobby turned into a scientific legacy. Reporter Johanna Urich concludes a 5-part series on climate change in the Arctic today by taking us to St. Lawrence Island.
Leonard Opunkaluk has more than 2 decades of daily records of weather, wind, ice, currents, and wildlife in notebooks. He grew up in Gamble, trained by elders to hunt walruses, seals, and whales. Understanding the weather and environment are crucial.
Daily we walk down to the beach bank where we get to observe the ice. How is the ice and the animals affected by the weather?
When he grew up in the 40s, seasons were predictable. Every fall in October, the polar ice pack would arrive with huge multi-year ice streaming out of the Bering Strait to surround St. Lawrence Island, bringing with it walruses, seals, and polar bears. The ice would stay till July or August.
Those were on schedule every year. The seasons didn't change back in those days. They were very consistent.
It's been decades since Leonard Opunkaluk has seen those icebergs. Even this winter, which felt like those a long time ago, did not bring them. Instead, most years, ice is gone much earlier and comes back later. Winters have been warmer with only local ice, and not much of that. There are years with open water near the island.
Now, our conditions are unpredictable. We get these freak storms that come into our area. Winds are higher, more inclement weather. It disrupts our planning.
Over 20 years ago, Opunkaluk started writing down his observations. It was a way to help him decide when to hunt. The notebooks go way beyond temperatures, wind, and ice cover. They include wildlife observations and are a detailed view of a world changing. They are the largest baseline of data set of its kind in the Arctic. Igor Krupnik with the Smithsonian Institution saw the value. He worked with Apungaluk to write a book based on observations from native hunters. Changes Apungaluk recorded include the first time whales stayed in the open water near the island during the winter instead of going further south, polar bears coming on shore instead of following the ice, and storms so violent one broke up the ice, driving ice seals onto shore.
When the ice got crushed, waves got bigger. All this ice pounding with, you know, each other, and the seals that lived there, they had to scramble for their lives. A lot of them came to the shore, and some of our people hunting them, they started to go out over the ice despite the danger. And I was hoping they would make it out. That was one thing that, where I saw the seal in danger in his own environment, where the animals fought for their lives.
None of this would have been conceivable when he was a boy. But this is the reality today on St. Lawrence Island for younger hunters like Perry Pangawi. To help them hunt, his generation accesses satellite images.
This gives us a bird's-eye view of where the ice is.
New technology coupled with eons of traditional knowledge helps safeguard these hunters during rapidly changing times. But pressures are increasing, amplified by fuel costs climbing with no end in sight.
Failure is not an option. We have to get that food. We need that food. It gets to be stressful sometimes, especially when we come home with nothing.
Climatic changes coupled with rising costs are things Pangawi calculates on every hunt. I'm Johanna Urich.